Erstmal herzlich willkommen und danke, dass du da bist. Wie gesagt,
ich freue mich mehr als euch.
Ja, wie gesagt, wir machen das Interview jetzt für Forward Radio.
Und Forward, pull up that!
Okay, und zwar die erste Frage, vielleicht über den Anfang von deiner Karriere reden. Du bist vor inzwischen 18 Jahren bist du ja nach Deutschland gekommen, ne? Und ja, in Konstanz, glaube ich sogar.
Ja. Ja, das erste Mal, du musst dir so vorstellen, ich habe in Jamaika bis so 88 überall vom Studiotour zu Studiotour gerannt. Dann kam diese große Gilbertstown und dann kam ich nach Westmoreland und hat da von Montag bis Samstag jede Nacht irgendwelche Touristen-Shows von Kaisers Café, D-Bus, MX3, ganze Palette, ja, bis zu Alfreds.
Gilbert blew you to Germany.
No. Then, after all of that, from working and working, we meet a producer. Them said them want to do some works with me, and all of a sudden, they thought that their equipment would be better than those they paying for in Jamaica. So them bring me also. And I land in Stuttgart, came to Konstanz, my first time in Germany, living in the Marktstätte.
Okay, so it was partly a financial thing, so you had more opportunities and better pay over here, or?
Not really. It was an opportunity. For you see, everybody at Jamaica, I think so when they reach a foreign, everything good already. But it was a hard, hard struggle because at that time in Konstanz, reggae was like nothing. But there was a lot of clubs. Nightlife in Konstanz was hot at that time. So I used to perform in the boat, even in Theater Cafe on Tuesdays. I used to play some tunes. Even in Siba Bar, they booked me to play, and I do a lot of birthday parties. But really, as an artist, I was working with Dread Colors Band. They were also one of the reasons after Sony kicked me out.
Sony, so you were signed?
Yeah, the thing was in Berlin, through a connection with a guy called Yuri, I came to a sub-label from Sony and was doing some shit, and they wanted you to sing like, what's it called? Geht zu ihr und lass dein Drachen steigen. And I didn't understand, and I said, yo, I'm not gonna sing it, so they tell me I'm not disciplined enough. And then I start playing with Dread Colors Band, who brought me. It was a collaboration of three people who bring me over here, and they got me into Sony. So I had the band, I had the mother of my son, Daniela. She was also the one doing the management, getting me the shows. And after I was here like 4 weeks, I played the first time with Gang Lords in Kreuzlingen in a, I think it's called Club 808 or 809 or something like that. And from there, it just started to rise. So I was playing with Gang Lords 10 years. With Dread Colors 4 years, even did some albums with them that never really got released. And after Gang Lords, after I split with Gang Lords, I start doing this D-Buzz thing. And like I tell you, it's a hard life. It's easier in Jamaica. Here, you don't know nobody. You don't have no real family here. You don't really speak the language in the first years and all that. And it's not like it's a mass of black people. It's more a mass of Caucasians. So it's a little much harder to get along. Some ways it makes it easy because you're a little bit special at that time, but nobody was really into pushing some Jamaican artists, or most of them thought I had everything already because I was always being as good as today. So.
Okay, did you work with bands before in Jamaica?
In Jamaica I never really worked with sound systems. Only in the beginning of my career, like when I was about 9, 10, I worked on Volcano with Yellow Man, who really showed me the most of the things I know was Yellow Man. You understand? So, and him always give me the props. Anyway, him see me, him give me the bus, put me on stage. So that kind of pushed me more in Jamaica. I used to be around Shabba and all of them back in the days when Shabba just a bus, Ninja Man, the whole of them and them run around the whole place back in the days. So even Earl and Tony, General Trees, the whole of them, when I used to live on the gully, uptown, big up Carpa. Yeah, Wayne and the gang.
Yes, respect to the foundation.
You know what I'm saying? I have a big up Small Axe from down a big yard down a Jamaica back in them days there. Whitehall Avenue, 12 Lane.
Yeah, when we were doing our homeworks and going through some interviews that you've done before, well, you get the impression from these interviews that you would have been more affiliated with the dancehall scene than with actually working in the studios with bands.
Okay, studio and band is a different thing. I haven't been working in a lot of studios back in my past. I work with a lot of bands, not being the front singer of a band, but I always perform with a band. Could be Sagittarius or Fifth Extension or Indica Band, different bands for different, for like in Jamaica, most venues has a band where I grew up in this area. Before, in my early days, before Capleton come about, I used to go around in sound systems, yeah, sing on some little sound here, small hacks there. But I wasn't no big star. I was like the little boy, you know, everybody give me a chat. You understand? Was really Yellow Man who really give me the light a little bit. I have to be honest about that. And when I came to Europe, I thought now is the time after working with hundreds of artists, because when you live in Negril, and like my adopted father, I could call him, Big Youth from Kaiser's Cafe, Cotton Tree Place, him really kind of take me in. So every time, it doesn't matter who come to Kaiser, me play before them. So everybody in the business kind of know me. And that's how I get my props. It was like, could be people thought I was a part of Fifth Extension Band. With that time, Mikey Spice was the lead guitar player. And that was just before Jack Radix bust out. Yeah, so it's a way back thing. But in Germany, I become what I am today. Because I had to work hard for it, but the opportunity of not being 1,000 Jamaicans in Germany doing reggae made me a little bit special. And after I've been here already, 6 years, I start doing Fred and Barney in Munich with Renegade today, called Renegade, Fred and Barney Renegade Sound with Barney and Thomas back in the days. That's how I get into the sound business here, because at that time I was playing just with Dread Colors Band and Gang Lords. Didn't really do no sound system shows at all.
Okay, so obviously you know both cultures. Can you say a few positive things about each of them? What do you like about Germany and about Jamaica?
Well, what I like about Germany is that the people, if you're good, you're good. It's not about what color you have. In the beginning, that was a thing I have to talk about. In the beginning, people didn't want to play no German reggae recorded stuff. It was me and Sebastian, we say, yo, we're going to do this. And a lot of people tell me, oh, pop reggae sound, you come from Jamaica, how can you do this? Even Pow Pow tell me, I will never, ever play no Deutsch reggae tunes.
And look at them now.
So, in a way, I have to give it up to Sebastian from D-Buzz for really making German reggae has a name. It's not even my credit, to be honest, because I was a little bit shy. And like, you sure? I even, sometimes I walk away. And say, Mucci, come down, we'll do this. So I have to give it up for him, you know? He's a brave guy when it comes to just doing that kind of thing. Because nobody used to play German reggae, to be honest. The only artist I knew then was Natty Flo, singing really in German that you could say is an artist. And then Natty Flo, we booked Natty Flo brought Nussleaf. I met Nussleaf 2001 in a studio in Root Down, doing hip hop in a little studio in the Ecke. And after these shows, backing up Natty Flo, I see him become a reggae artist. And I'm kind of happy that Germany, the reggae scene, the people, and that makes more people loving reggae. And I thank the German artists for that. Bless. But most of all, I thank Sebastian for that still. Because he give it to the people them. Because I remember when we did the first all Deutsch mixtape, Fulle Bright Seite, everybody was like, you people must be crazy. How could you do this? And today it's still the most popular reggae Europe, just straight mixed Deutsche reggae bis heute. And in Jamaica, this is the foundation, it's my homeland. This is what I love with Jamaica, that don't matter what's going on, they have the latest style, the newest songs, that every style, they just can do it. And I have to give it up for my family, Dina Manto, as one of the most consistent artists of the business. And this is what makes the reggae music so nice, because it's the people from different races, different colors, different nations, people, even people who is lawyers and judges, they go play reggae in their free time. So it makes the world unite. There's not much difference about it. It's reggae everywhere. The only difference is that everybody's doing it in their own language, and I can understand. For if the people can understand what you're singing about, they will get to love it more, and it's more open, so nobody can say, oh, them just love it because them not understand. And reggae is my soul, it's my life. I live this music every day.
So you still have strong ties to Jamaica. How often do you get to go there?
To be honest, I don't get there very often. But I'm Jamaican. My ties are always there. I could have got a German passport already 15 years ago. And I still have a Jamaican pass and go through all the struggle. And I'm still married since 15 years. So even my wife tell me I'm the stupidest Jamaican she knows. And I'll never go home as a tourist. Don't care how long I'm on the planet, you see it.
Respect, so you're still in touch with your friends and your family?
Yes, I do, because my sister does that for me, to be honest. She's here in Switzerland, and since she's here, she really gave me more connection to Jamaica. In the first years, I'm just here because I'm the outsider of the family. I was given away with 1 year and 9 months to my grandmama. I run away from home with nine. I grew up on the streets. I don't really have no family that I have to call and say, hey, how you doing? I got family, street family. And they call me when they need something. I don't have to call them every day. My mama, I didn't see her 28 years, so like I say, who should I call really? I have my own family now. I got my kids, and that's it. That's
okay,
really that.
Okay, so it's more friends
and
than family.
Music. No, friends are people you meet and you feel acquainted to. Mm-hmm. People you know and trust are family. And like I say, I got my own family now. I got my kids, I got my fans, and the people I work with, I call all of them family. Mm. Because they're the one who bring me joy.
I understand. So what do you think about the current dancehall sound that comes out of Jamaica? And what do you think about autotune and such things?
Who need it, use it. Yeah, and I got to put it like that. Music is not a four-corner box, and it's not a circle. It's free like the wind. So everybody still have the right to do what they feel and what they like. And even the songs I don't like sell millions, so who am I to judge the music? I'm just one little, like a sand grain on the beach in this music business.
Okay. Can you name a person that had a special influence on you? I mean, you already mentioned Yellowman. Does any other person come to mind? Any producer, singer, whatever?
The thing is, in my young days, a lot of people gave a big impression on me. Because when I think of Dennis Brown, Johnny Osborne, when I think of even Gregory Isaac, this big joke I had, I laugh about it every day, even though he's dead now. I remember it was Little Risto Benji and Gregory Isaac and his 150, and they want to go to some restaurant to get some food. And Gregory say, I will drive you, and Risto jump on and say, no, turn around.
So Risto wanted to drive him.
No. You know, it's a bike, and somebody riding behind you normally sit like this. And Gregory said, no, turn around, back to back. And it's my life is a whole history. I can remember little Yamabolo with a 900 Kawasaki RR. His foot can't reach the ground and all them things. There's a lot of things that make an impression. Sugar Minot, most of all, because he gave all the youths a chance. And when he was around, everybody had a chance, really. The others that's been there a long time, they may try to keep you out and all that. But when Sugar was there, everybody had a chance. No matter who you were. With many other sounds too. Sound Love made a big impression on me when I started creating D-Buzz. That's why I was happy, even though I never said that to Sebastian, but I was happy to tour, being the first tour, the first time D-Buzz going on the road, playing for Stone Love every night before Stone Love. And Rory was always upset that we can't play like that, you're the little sound. And this was a big stress, yeah.
So you were too good.
I'm proud of that. But you see, the impression of producers on me, I have to go back to King Tubby's, because I used to go there when I was a little boy, go chill, smoke some weed with the big man them, and King Jammies, you're outside, normally they don't even let me into the yard. You're in front of the gate. When you do get in there, you're so happy that you don't even want to go outside, for you may not come back in. But these people made a big impression on reggae, because even today, their name is still calling. For the real dancehall era started between Scorpio and Jammies back then. with General Trees, and then you got Tolo T, Admiral Bailey, and Jammies, and everybody building up their artists. Was a mad time, you know. And the history of reggae, I see it through my eyes and what I hear and what I love. In my youth, with my grandmama, I was not even allowed to listen to By the Rivers of Babylon on radio. I would get a slap. So, it's very hard for me to say anything about that. I just love the work from Tubbies, Jammies, and all the producers who make this thing happen.
Very nice. What's your favorite all-time rhythm? Can you name one?
Yeah. To be honest, it's the Hansa and the Stalag.
Hansa and Stalag.
Hansa, Stalag, Evanless, these kind of old rhythms. But most of all, the Slang Thing.
Nice. To finish this up, what's next for you?
At the moment, I'm sorry to say it in this way, I wanted to release my album on the 27th of this month, but because of circumstances that I won't explain, it will come a little later. It's just one more question, my brother. Listen, like me say, I had planned to bring a new album called The Return of the Ragamuffin on the 27th of this month. But because of some circumstances that I didn't get through with everything I wanted to get through with, because I had too many shows and other things to take care of, think it will come about April. The songs are all recorded. I recorded two albums, to be honest. I recorded the My Girl album and the Return of the Ragamuffin album. This album is a real concept album. Every song on it, every track on it has something to do with the past. Either the rhythm is a bring back, or the style, the flow, the lyrics, maybe some copy lyrics from somebody else. You know, it's really bringing back the early 80s into the 90s. Not the 90s. Early 80s, where the ragamuffin really starts with bong bada bong bong bada bong bada bang, that style, them thing there, couscous and those kind of rhythms, bringing them
Duck
back.
Dance.
Them kind of beats. Not the whole of that, but you know, it's a little bit of that because it's just one album. You cannot cover that. But that's the next project, and it's really fat.
Yes, it's good to know, and thank you for the interview.
Thank you also, man, for taking the opportunity to come over here all the way from Freiburg to do this interview with me. Hannah, I'm blessed. And bless you and keep up the good works.